Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate you, brother. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4 here in just a couple minutes, but we have another verse we're going to go to before that. You want to turn to Hebrews 4. Those of you that like to turn, of course, the scriptures, as always, will be on the screen. But we've all had those days. You've had that day where it's been really long. Maybe it's really long because you worked a double shift. Maybe it was really long because you had to travel a long ways. My Dell and I used to live in Michigan, and those 12-hour trips between here and Michigan can get really long. And then when you got four kids and a van and all that stuff, some of you are smiling. Yeah, I get it. I understand, right? You get really long trips, and you're exhausted. Maybe it's just a long day because it was an emotionally draining day. And you get to the end of the day, and you do all this stuff, and finally you get to lay down in bed and just go, right? You finally get to rest. You're just exhausted. You're physically wore out, and you just need to sit down and rest. But we all know that sometimes just because your body is physically at rest doesn't really mean that you're at rest, does it? There's an emotional unrest that comes with living in a broken and sinful world. And we all have experienced the emotional roller coasters and the ups and downs. My wife and I, as our granddaughter was born last week, for those of you who are here, and she's still in the NICU and doing well, but she's still in the hospital. And there's all kinds of things that bring about emotional instability. And there are times where you're physically resting, but really you're not at rest at all because your emotions are all worked up. Sometimes it's from just drama and bad stuff. Sometimes your emotions are all worked up because it's good things, right? When my kids got married at their weddings, it was great. It was exciting. It was wonderful. But boy, was I emotionally exhausted at the end of the day with all those people there and just all the stuff going on. So there's this physical rest. And then there's an emotional rest that we all try to seek and we all try to get to. But there's a rest that goes even deeper than that. And it's right in here, the place we call the soul. And that's the place where Jesus invites us to. Because when your soul is at rest, your body physically can be tired, but you're okay. And you've experienced this. You've gone out and you've worked hard physically all day long, and you come home and you're physically tired, but you look at what you got accomplished that day and you feel really good, do you not? Maybe you helped a neighbor out, or maybe you built something, or whatever it is you did. You're physically tired, but you're good because you did something worthwhile. But when your soul is at rest, even when your emotions are all up and down and confused and hurt and you're anxious or you're angry or you're frustrated or you're uncertain, all that, when your soul's at rest, there's this peace that passes understanding. And it's okay. Emotionally, I might be a wreck at the moment, but deep down I know that it's okay because Jesus has invited me to come and rest. But the flip side of that is also true. If your soul isn't at rest, there is no amount of human emotional rest that you will get that will make up for that. And you've experienced this as well. You've been out, you've been at the party, and you're laughing, you're talking, you're having a good time, and everybody thinks, oh man, she's just doing great, he's just doing wonderful. And you kind of know deep down inside, yeah, I may be having a good time at the moment, but I'm not really at peace in my life. Because when your soul isn't at peace, there is nothing in this world that will give you the kind of rest that Jesus wants to give you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about come and rest. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is talking to the crowd. He had just finished a prayer. He was praying out loud to God, and he was talking to God, and he was talking about how God only... I know you, and only the people that know me know you, and you know me, and you know my people. And later on, he says something very similar, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And in this prayer, Jesus is talking about the only way to the presence of God, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And then he calls out to the crowd. This would have been largely a Jewish crowd, and they would have been familiar with the Old Testament, working with the Old Testament, trying to do the things that God told them to do with the sacrifices and the feast and the festivals and all of that stuff. And they're trying to get to God through all of this work. And on top of that, many of them followed the Pharisaical way, and the Pharisees came along, if you'll remember, and they threw all their man-made rules on top of God's rules. And so they're trying to follow God's rules, and now they're trying to follow some man-made rules, and they're working and they're striving and they're doing their best, but they're just, there's something right there going, something's not quite right. And Jesus looks out at the crowd and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he's not talking here to the person who's out working the job. He's not talking about that kind of labor. He's talking about the kind of labor that you and I get into sometimes, where we try to work and seek the approval of God through all the stuff that we do. If I'll just preach a good enough sermon, or if I'll sing a good enough song, or if I serve enough in the church, or if I'm just a good enough person and I treat everybody really well, then maybe God will be happy with me. And Jesus says, I want you to stop all that. Come to me. You are laboring, you're striving, you're working, and I'll give you rest. And he continues. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke was a device they placed on the animals, and I don't know much about farming, but if I understand it right, they put this yoke on a couple of oxen, and they would work together to plow the field. And Jesus says, come and take a yoke. In other words, he's saying, come and walk along beside me in this thing called life, and if you walk with me, and to walk in the Bible meant to spend daily time with God, if you were to walk every day with Jesus, he says, you'll learn from me. This is the process of sanctification he's talking about here. How that once you become a Christian, we're not all made perfect. And don't we wish that were the case? But we all know for certain that it is not the case. That even after coming to Christ for salvation, we got a lot to learn, do we not? And he says, come and learn from me. If you walk beside me and if you walk with me, and then you come to that moment and you don't know what to do, if you're walking and hanging out with me, I'll teach you and I'll help you. Learn from me. Why? Because I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is standing with open arms saying, please come. I'm here for you. And you will find rest for your what? Souls. Not rest for your physical body. Not rest for your emotional state. But rest for your soul. Because it is your eternal soul that truly matters. And Jesus knows that when your soul is at rest and is at peace, the rest of the stuff of life will take care of itself. He's not promising us that it will be easy all the time. He's not saying, come walk with me and every road will be smooth. You'll never stumble. You'll never fall. You'll never have a problem. He's not saying that. No, he's saying that, yeah, it's going to be tough sometimes, but you're going to be okay because I'm right here with you. And when the God of the universe is walking right beside you, there is no power of hell, there is no power on earth that can overcome. He says, come, I want to give you rest for your souls. Jesus is inviting all of us into something much, much deeper than anything this world has to offer. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that is the call today as we go into Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews 4:13 are all one section of Scripture. And we didn't cover it all last week because we don't have time. But if you're reading through the book of Hebrews as we go through it on Sundays, and I trust and I pray that you are, read through the book of Hebrews during this period of time. Read it more than once if you get a chance. Just envelop it and learn from it. Then when you read, make sure that when you get to 3 that you read 3 and 4 together. Because 3 and 4 are both chapters are an exposition on Psalm chapter 95. And we looked at parts of Psalm 95 last week. And so the writer of Hebrews, who understood the call of Jesus to come and find rest for your soul, remember he started out talking about Jesus is better. He is just better than everything. He is better than your way of living. He is better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Old Testament. He is better because he is God. And Jesus is God in a body, and he says, come, walk with me. And when we come and walk with him, we know and we find that peace. And the writer reminds us to be intentional and to be focused on Jesus, because it is so tempting, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, that if you're not intentional, you will drift. And we need to come back to our anchor. And last week in chapter 3, as he's talking about how that Jesus is better than Moses. And he reminded us in Psalm 95, that passage of Scripture that talks about when Israel came out of Egypt, walked up to the edge of the promised land, and they didn't get to enter the promised land. They didn't get to enter the land of rest because when God said, step over, they got scared because they saw the giants. And the stuff in front of them scared them. And they rebelled and they turned back and they wound up wandering around in the desert for 40 years because they didn't believe God. And he says, for you and I, today is the day of salvation, because you never know when that last time you say no is your last time. And we talked last week and we emphasized today is the day of salvation. Today is the day as a Christian to surrender that thing that God's telling you to give up, because you don't know if you'll have tomorrow. And that's what we talked about last week. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Well, let's be honest. Nobody believes that. The preacher can stand up here and say it. Anybody, you do not have tomorrow. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. And nobody believes it, because we are not built to believe it. If you truly believe there is no tomorrow, you would live life different today. So we go, yeah, I get it. I hear you. And I understand. It's in the human condition is nobody thinks they're going to die tomorrow. It's just the way we're built. And so in chapter 4, he goes beyond that understanding that you today is the day, because you may not have tomorrow, to, well, even if you do have tomorrow, and if you got 5 years or 10 years, why would you want to waste the next 5 or 10 years of your life stuck, not resting? Why would you want to waste the next however many number of years you got left in anger, in anxiousness, in frustration, in being overwhelmed? Why do you want to live that way? Remember last week, I told you, I started out telling you about my wrist surgery and how I waited for months and months and months and months and months, and finally I got it done. I'm like, why did I wait so long? I spent months in pain. I spent months fighting a numb hand. I spent I spent months in a condition that I didn't have to be in. And that's the point of chapter 4. So even if you've got 10 years, even if you don't believe me when I say you may not have tomorrow, that's fine. But why would you want to live tomorrow the way you lived yesterday? Why would you not want to live your life with the peace that passes understanding, with the rest for your soul that sticks no matter what the circumstance? And as the writer of Hebrews, at the end of chapter 3, he's talking here, remember, about when Israel rebelled against God and wouldn't step into the land of promise. The writer of Hebrews says, to whom did God swear that they would not enter His rest? But to those who did not obey. Because what you believe affects how you behave. You do what you believe in. Your belief affects your behavior. You can say, I believe X, I believe X, I believe X, but if you never actually do X, then you don't really believe X. You're just giving lip service to belief, because you do what you really believe. He says, so those folks that heard what God said, they didn't obey because they didn't believe God. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. The Israelites did not get to enter the land of rest, the land of promise, because they did not believe God. And because they did not believe God, which is amazing to us, but we're just like them, because they saw the miracles, they saw the stuff, they knew God was greater than their giants, but they didn't believe Him. When He said, if you step over, I'll fight with you. If you step over, I'll help you out. They didn't believe Him. And when they didn't believe, they said no to God, and it cost them their lives. And then He picks up the story in chapter 4. Therefore, based on chapter 3, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Remember, he's writing primarily to Jewish people here, and he's talking about how that Jesus is better than the Old Testament. He's reminding them that just because Jesus is better than the Old Testament doesn't mean that the Old Testament has no value. And he's also reminding them that that rest that God promised the nation of Israel, that promise is here for you too. That God promises you that rest, that it is available to you today. And he continues, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, the Israelites, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why didn't the word that they heard profit them? It was not mixed
with faith in those who heard it. In other words, they heard God, but they didn't believe God. And because they didn't believe God, they didn't take that step necessary. And because they didn't take that step necessary, they wound up in the wilderness. And he's telling us today that God has given you that same promise of rest. But you can't just sit in your recliner and wait for God to come and hand it to you. You got to take a step of obedience. You got to mix the hearing with the faith. You got to mix the hearing with the belief. For we who have believed do not enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Quoting Psalm 95, where God told Moses, you guys are not going in because you didn't trust me and you didn't believe me. And then he refers back to Genesis here. And this is a little odd, but he jumps back to Genesis and goes, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place, in other words, in the Old Testament, of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. And it gets a little complicated the way he's phrasing this thing here. But basically, the writer of Hebrews is saying, God has promised a rest for mankind. God, we all know the story. He worked on 6 days. He created the earth. And then on the seventh day, what did he do? On the seventh day, God rested. That doesn't mean God took a nap. Okay? God stepped back from his creation that he had done in 6 days, and he looked at his creation, and he saw that it was very good. And he was pleased with his creation. And so he sat back because he was pleased. The work was done, and he was now at rest. But then what happened next? Satan came. Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and we know the story, and they rebelled against God. They sinned against God. They broke the rules. And since that moment, the world has not been at rest. This world is broken. And we struggle to find that rest today that God had created from the very beginning. And the reason the Israelites did not enter the rest that God had promised them was because they did not believe. And because they did not believe, they did not obey. Rest is found in obedience. Because you see, God, as creator, knows best how to live at peace in this world. God created the world. God designed the world. God knows how the world works. We think we know how the world works. We don't have a clue. God knows how to operate in his creation best. And when we go against the way God created it, we're not going to find the rest that we're looking for. Rest is found in obedience. And this is the whole point up from 3 and 4, that you'll never find peace apart from the Prince of Peace. Not only that, one thing I want to talk about briefly. Physical rest is necessary, and physical rest is good. It truly is. God rested on the seventh day. And in the Old Testament, God structured the Old Testament system. 6 days they were to work, and then on the seventh day, that Sabbath or the Saturday for the Israelites, that was Saturday, they were to rest and they were to do no work. They were to spend their time relaxing, refreshing their bodies, and reconnecting with their Creator. So the Sabbath day was to rest and to worship. And you and I need that time to rest and to worship. There was a time in our country, and I barely remember these days, but some of you might. I know younger people, you don't. There was a day where life wasn't 24/7. Sundays was a day where most businesses were closed. There were no kids' basketball games on Sundays. There was no travel ball on Sundays. Sunday was a day where pretty much this area closed down so people could be with their families and go to church and worship. And I long for those days. Our country would be in such a much better place if we shut down on Sundays and reconnected with our families and our God. But that ship has sailed, and so you and I must find time to have physical rest because it is necessary and good. We must find time to reconnect with our Creator on a regular basis. That's what Sunday morning is for. But Sunday morning is not the be-all, end-all. Sunday morning is a good refresher and a good reminder and a good encourager, a good place to come and learn and then figure out how to practice during the week. So finding that physical rest is necessary, but you got to have a balance. Because God created rest. And that was a struggle for me in a long, long time, learning how to rest. Because what God creates, Satan will step in and he'll twist God's truth just a little bit. And he'll twist it just enough to where it sounds good. But when you follow it, you get way off path. And so the thing about rest is this. Some folks, they're over on this edge and they like to work, 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 work. And anytime you step over here and you start to rest a little bit, you start to feel guilty. Anybody else like that? Because I'm not getting anything done. And I'm not getting anything accomplished. And if I'm not getting anything done and I'm not getting anything accomplished, I must be doing something wrong. And if I'm doing something wrong, then God must not be happy with me. And so I'm going to work, 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 work. And I'm going to get just as much stuff done as I possibly can. I'll rest when I'm dead. Right? That's not what God has intended for us. You must take time to rest. To reconnect. Because when you get too busy, you do drift from God. Even if you're busy working for God, you can still drift from God if you're working too much. And some folks are here on this side over here. And they're just resting. And they're resting. And I'm going to rest a little bit more. I'm going to rest about another 10 minutes. And the next thing you know, the resting has not become resting. It has become procrastination. Or it has become laziness. And we get nothing done. And we think, oh, God loves me anyway. What's it matter? That's not true. That's the other extreme. We've got to find balance. We've got to find that place where we can rest and reconnect with God. And do so in a healthy way. You need to learn to rest. I need to learn to rest. And I need to learn when to stop resting. And get out of the recliner and do something, right? So that's it on physical rest. But then he continues. Since therefore it remains that some must enter, that there is a rest for people, that some must enter, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, referring to the Israelites, they didn't get the rest because they disobeyed. He continues, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, talking about Psalm 95, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore, or there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. There is a rest for you and I. Joshua spoke about another rest. And it's so fascinating when you look at the history of Israel. And then eventually Moses dies. That generation dies that rebels. Joshua rises up and Joshua becomes the leader of the nation of Israel. And Joshua is the one that leads them into the land of promise, the land of rest. And God said to them, you need to drive out all of your enemies from the land or they're going to be a snare to you. And what did Israel do? They disobeyed. And they did not drive out all of the enemies like God told them to. And what happened? That land of rest that they were living in really wasn't so much a land of rest because they were at war and they were at battle with the Philistines. You've heard the story of David and Goliath. He was a Philistine. They were at war constantly because they never drove out all the enemies. And what a beautiful illustration it is for you and I. That when you and I do not drive out the enemies in our life, those enemies that take your peace, those enemies that take your rest, if you don't get rid of them, they're going to come back up like a weed and you're going to discover, well, I'm not really at rest at all because I disobeyed God when he told me to do that and I didn't really do it. I did it part way, but I didn't do it all the way. And so the nation of Israel didn't have complete rest even. And it's a beautiful picture of our salvation. That our salvation, we come, we trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And now we have entered, we become part of the children of the family of God. A place where Jesus is saying, come and rest in me. We say, okay. And then we get just a little further down the road in our walk, in our journey with Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah, I don't think you need to be doing that anymore. And we go, yeah, I know, but I can handle it. And we disobey. So yeah, now we're saved. We're in the promised land like the nation of Israel. We're not really obeying. And what do we discover? Just like the nation of Israel. We wind up being at war in our souls because we are not living in obedience to our Savior. So there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did for his. There's two rests for the believer. There's the future rest that he talks about, and there's a present rest. The future rest comes, guess when? In the future. Good guess. Right? When you get to heaven, there's going to be this rest that's amazing. Because you know what? You don't have the sin body anymore. You don't have that sin nature living within you. That when the rapture happens, or when Jesus comes back, or when you die, this body dies. The Bible tells us we get a new body, has no sin nature in it, so there is no sin battle for you and I to fight. What a wonderful rest that's going to be when I don't have to fight myself. Because don't you struggle sometimes? Or am I the only one? Don't you argue with yourself sometimes? And don't you walk up to that place and go, I want to, but I know I shouldn't. And you struggle and you got all this stuff going. Or that person does the thing and you're like, yeah, I'm going to really tell them off and that'll make me feel really good. Only to discover that they just kept right on driving and never even heard what you said, right? Or whatever. Don't we all have those struggles and those battles that we fight? Thank God that one day we're not going to have that. That when we get to heaven, we're going to have a rest for all of eternity. And I don't mean sleeping in the recliner. I mean a soul rest. That we're going to be busy in heaven. We're going to be doing stuff, but our souls are going to be at rest. But he says, even before you get to heaven, you can have a little piece of heaven here in this world. You can have a present rest. If you come unto Jesus and you walk with him every day and you learn from him and if you lean into him and if you follow him, but you've got to obey. So let us therefore be diligent or intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. Let us be diligent to enter that rest, that soul rest, that place of peace that's beyond understanding. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And who is he referring to? The Israelites. Don't be like the Israelites who walked right up to the edge of the promise that God has given you and failed to take that next step of faith. And he closes this section with very, very powerful verses. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The writer tells us this. First off, the Word of God is living and powerful. God is eternal. Therefore, God's Word is eternal. What God said 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, what He said then is still just as true today as it was back then. The Word of God, what we call the Bible, is living and is active and it is true, just as the day it was written. That's why you can read a verse and you go, I've read that verse a dozen times, but I don't remember reading that verse. You ever experienced that? Isn't that kind of a cool moment, though, when you're reading the Bible, you're like, I never saw that before. Because God's Word is living and active. And He's like, you need to hear this time. You weren't ready last time you read it, but this time you're ready. And so it's living, and God speaks to you through the Word of God. That is why it is crucial for you as a believer to be in the Word of God. Because it's living and active, and it is powerful to help you overcome the stuff of life that will give you the rest of your soul. He says, it's also like a two-edged sword, or it's even stronger than that. But sometimes when you read the Word of God, it's like, oops. Uh-oh. And then that's where the moment of decision comes in, because you're reading the living, powerful Word of God, and God speaks to you, and it hurts, because now you got a decision to make. Am I going to do what God said, or am I going to keep doing the things that I've been doing? He says, God knows your thoughts and the intents of your heart. People around you may not know. You might say, yeah, I'll go help you, but inside you're like, I really don't want to. And God's like, I saw both of those. Because there's no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked before God. One final thought. God knows. God knows the intentions of your heart. God knows the thoughts. God knows what's going on right now. God knows that you're thinking about what's for lunch. He knows all the stuff that's going on inside of us. And He searches our hearts. When you're lying at bed and you are in pain because you can't just figure it out and you don't really know what to do and your soul is not at rest, God knows. What does God say? Come and find rest in me. God knows when you said you would do that thing, but then you really don't want to do it, so now you're trying to figure out how to get out of it. God knows the stuff that's going on inside of your mind. He knows the stuff that's going on inside of your heart. And yet He still says, come unto me. And so for the person here today going, I'm just in so much pain and I can't figure it out. My soul really isn't at rest. I've tried. I've tried the drugs. I've tried the alcohol. I've tried the relationships. I've tried the porn. I've tried all of this stuff and nothing seems to work. I'm telling you, none of it will work because it is all temporary. And God is saying, come to me. Surrender to me. I'm going to give you a rest that's better than all that stuff. Or maybe some of you are like, I've been doing the best I can. And God, I'm just not sure. And God's like, I know. It's okay. Just come. And how do we come to Jesus? It's real simple. It's through prayer. It's through the scripture reading. It's through fellowship with other believers. But how do I get past that moment where I step out and I'm really looking for rest and I really want the rest of my soul, but I have got such a bad habit of reaching for the thing that I know that that thing's not really going to give me the rest I'm looking for, but I just, that's my habit, that's the thing that I do. And we've all been there, we've all got the stuff. And we all know, right? That glass of whiskey looks really good. Maybe this will be the glass that brings me peace, knowing all the well that glass of whiskey is just like every other glass of whiskey. Or that hit, or that thing we've done that we've tried so many times over and over. What do you do in those moments? That's the hard question sometimes, right? Well, we've been talking for the last 2 weeks about today is the day of salvation. Let me give you two words. Not today. When you're facing that moment and you're going to reach for the thing or the person or the whatever and you're about to reach for that thinking that's what's going to do it for me today, don't say not forever. Don't try to convince yourself that I'm going to kick it for the rest of my life. But you know what you can do? You can kick it for this moment. And in that moment, not today, Satan. Today, I'm going to choose this verse of Scripture. Today, I'm going to choose to go on my knees and I'm going to pray to God to hit me through it. Today, I'm going to make a phone call to that friend who I know is going to tell me the truth that I don't want to hear, but I know that they love me. And the reason they're telling me the truth is because they love me. And it's going to hurt when they tell me the truth. But I'm going to choose to do it anyway because ultimately I'm tired of living this way. Ultimately, I want that rest that goes beyond the emotion. I want the rest that goes all the way down into my soul. And Jesus says, well, come on. Jesus will never go, ah, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Jesus will always say, come, learn from me. You will find rest for your soul. Understand, you've got to take the step of faith. You've got to obey. And that's where you find rest in your soul. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that there is a place of rest for the believer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that although it can be difficult at times and it can be difficult in the moments to find that place and to make the right choice, Lord, we know that it is there and that you're standing with your hands and your arms open wide, that if we will choose you over the thing and if you will choose you over this or that, that we know that ultimately we will find that rest for our souls. And the book of Hebrews is calling us that, Jesus, you are better than that thing. You are better than the stuff that I have been focused on. Oh, Jesus, I pray this morning that folks will come forward and they will commit to making a step of faith. Father, I pray that we will obey as you have called. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to you, you come forward. Maybe you just need to make a commitment for the next time. The next time I'm faced with that choice, that's the time I'm going to choose. Whatever God has spoken to you, come. I promise you, there is rest in the arms of God.